Are you sure there isn't anything more you can tell me? He pressed. If the life of Prince Salazar is at stake, even the smallest detail might end up saving him. There was a lengthy pause before she replied.
Would you give us a moment, Captain?
Xavier bristled.
If there is more, then I should know of it. I am the captain of the Royal Guard. You have no right to keep information from me.
And you are within my jurisdiction, Captain. So unless you come with official orders in your hand, I am the authority here. You will do as I say, or I will have you shown out.
The threat was not genuine. Drake knew that. Xavier, together with his two men waiting directly outside, could easily overcome whatever security the magistrate might keep in the building. All the same, she was right. He might outrank her, but she was still the ultimate authority inside her own building, not to mention that Velma had been around long enough to know everyone's secrets, even someone as careful as Xavier.
"Once I return, we shall have a talk, you and I," he promised. "You know where to find me, Captain?"
Drake was forced to cover his mouth in order to conceal an ever-widening grin. After letting out a loud snort of exasperation, Xavier then strode from the room, slamming the door hard. The magistrate waited a few moments before pushing another button on the box. A soft hiss emanated from the ceiling.
"That should ensure our privacy," she told Drake.
"And though I cannot prevent you from telling Captain Mortimer what I am about to say, I sincerely hope you do not. I am only revealing this because you are correct. If you hope to save the prince, then you do need to be fully aware of anything that might help." He nodded.
"If Xavier doesn't need to know, he won't find it out from me."
A thin smile briefly appeared on her face.
"Yes. If I'm not mistaken, the two of you do have a somewhat troubled history. We've had our differences."
She had clearly done her research well.
"From your earlier remark, I know you are wondering exactly how the prince was able to put himself into such a dangerous situation."
Drake nodded.
"Of course I am. Just shaking off his escort would be a challenge. It couldn't have been an accident. I figure he lost them on purpose."
"That he did.
The plain truth is, Prince Salazar ran away. Unfortunately, I do not know all of the details. But I do know that the king was furious with him. So much so that he issued a warrant for his son's arrest."
Drake cocked his head.
"A warrant? Are you serious?" "Very. It has since been rescinded, though there's no way for the prince to know that. As far as he is concerned, anyone coming for him has only one purpose, to bring him back to Troy for prosecution. So, you see, even if you do find him, he might not be as cooperative as you anticipate."
"What was the charge?"
The magistrate hesitated for a lengthy moment.
"Treason. We're not even sure how it was that the prince found out. King Nidar rescinded it the same day. But we think that was the reason he ran."
Drake did not bother to ask exactly what he had done. Even if the magistrate knew, she would never tell him. But this did complicate matters. Prince Salazar would think he was facing a death sentence. It wouldn't be so easy to convince him to return, assuming that he was still alive.
"Does Exodus know about this?" he asked.
"We're not sure. We hope not. If they believe his life is already forfeit, they may well decide it best to just kill him. Every effort has been made to erase all details of the charge from the records, though there's always a possibility of them knowing about it anyway."
"I see. Well, that certainly changes things."
Her face softened to such an extent that, for a moment, she almost looked affable.
"I know very well that you and the prince were friends, which is why I stood with the king when he wanted to send for you. But heed this warning. Captain Mortimer may well try to work against you. He knows nothing of this, nor should he. I believe that a man of his character should not be in possession of such knowledge."
After leaning back in his chair, Drake steepled his hands beneath his chin. There was no doubt that she was right.
If Xavier knew any of this, he would certainly find a way of using it to gain leverage over the prince. Never before had a charge of treason been leveled against a member of the royal family. It would cause a huge stir among the nobles. What could Salazar have possibly done to make his father take such a drastic measure? "You must make sure the prince understands exactly what has happened before he speaks with the captain," Felmer continued. "Otherwise he might say something he shouldn't." She stood and crossed to the door. "If you do your job and this matter is handled properly, life for you in the lower city will be quite rewarding. That much I can promise." Drake waited a moment before exiting. Events had just taken a leap into the realm of the surreal. It had been hard enough to imagine the prince being abducted, but this was almost unbelievable. King Nidar loved his son fiercely. As hard as Drake tried, not a single thing came to mind that could cause him to do this. Not treason. Xavier was waiting impatiently, just outside. "Are you finished wasting time?" he growled. Drake smiled.
"It was anything but a waste of time, Captain."
When they reached the car, he jumped in quickly, flicked the locks, and then rolled down the passenger side window just a crack.
"I'll take it from here," he told Xavier.
"Open this damn door," he demanded, jerking furiously at the handle. "You had better tell me what she said to you. You hear me?"
Drake fired the engine.
"Sorry. I know all I need to know, so I can't hang around. I'm sure you can get a ride with someone else back to the upper city."
"If she told you something that—"
He slammed Cal into gear and sped away, while Xavier was still in mid-sentence. In the mirror he could see him shouting curses and shaking a fist. Drake couldn't help but laugh. He had never liked the man. His conversation with the magistrate had been shocking, to say the least. Yet one aspect was very clear. Xavier must not learn this information. A man like him would certainly use it to further his own ends.
"You've only got yourself to blame," he muttered. "You're the one who recruited the smug bastard in the first place."
He reached to the console and pressed a yellow pad.
"Hello, Drake," came her soft, almost seductive voice. "Please state your command."
"Camouflage. Low profile."
At once, Cal's paint began to dull, and patches of rust appeared on the hood. He stroked the dash.
"Don't worry, baby. You're still beautiful."
He was certain he was being watched. Though this slight change in his car would not be enough to throw off Xavier's people, it wasn't them he was worried about. It was no coincidence that Fisk had tried to have him killed. Someone knew that he would be coming here and wanted to stop him, which meant that someone either in the magistrate's office or close to the king was working for Exodus. He had thought to mention this to Velma during their private talk, but the magistrate was clever enough to piece it together for herself. So was Xavier, for that matter. Even though Drake couldn't stand the man, he was too clever to underestimate. He peeled onto the ramp leading from Troy. Yes, Xavier was smart, but not nearly as much as he imagined. It was always good when your opponents believed themselves to be intellectually superior. It made it easier to outmaneuver them. He imagined it was this failing, more than anything, that had prevented Xavier from finding the prince. He was simply incapable of seeing the enemy as anything more than uneducated brutes. And though Drake's own attitude had admittedly been little better in the days before his exile, he had since learned his lesson well. One did not need wealth to be clever. He eased Cal a little faster. There was a long road ahead. But not before he had made one more important stop. Chapter 6 It was a few hours before dusk by the time he reached Dawn's place. Directly across the street from this, Drake noted that the parking lot in front of the neighborhood bar was filled to capacity. That was a sure sign trouble was brewing. Before the night was over, there would be blood. Dawn's garage door lifted open, and an old man shuffled out. His gray hair was wrapped in an oily cloth, and his back had a permanent bend from countless years of toil. Adding to this picture of infirmity, the lines on his face were deeply carved.
Only a pair of twinkling brown eyes, as sharp as those of a man in his 20s, told a different story. The moment he spotted Drake, he threw up his hands and let out a loud moan.
"What have you done to her this time?"
Dawn was the only person Drake truly trusted to work on Cal, partly because he was the best mechanic in or out of the provinces, but mainly because he was the one who had actually built her.
"It's nothing I did this time," Drake replied, smiling.
"And I suppose you think you can just show up here and I'll drop everything for you."
Drake shrugged. "I can always go to Marcus Drimsley's place, if you like. He's been dying to take a look under Cal's hood."
"The hell you will," he snapped. "I'll see her in pieces before I'd let that hack touch her."
"If you're sure you have the time. I mean, I wouldn't want to inconvenience you."
Grumbling under his breath, Dawn ran his hands over the fender.
"So, what's wrong with her? You haven't been putting that cheap mana fuel in her again, have you?"
"It was one time, and I didn't have a choice."
Dawn raised an eyebrow.
"You hear that, Cal? He says he didn't have a choice."
"Look, forget about the fuel. The Royal Guard have installed some modifications. It's making her run sluggish."
Dawn glared at him accusingly.
"You let those butchers get their hands on her? What the hell did they do?"
Drake told him about the alterations, adding,
"They've put a tracker in as well. I need you to remove it, if you think you can."
He gave a derisive snort.
"There's nothing those morons in Troy can do that I can't undo. She'll be in shape right quick, I can promise you that."
By now, his attention was completely focused on Cal.
"I'll get you running right again, girl. Don't you worry."
He glanced up.
"You can sleep in the shed out back."
Drake knew that it was useless for him to say anything more. Dawn would work his magic tirelessly. He was the very best at what he did, though where he had learned such skill was a total mystery. Several times Drake had asked him about his past. Surely at some point in his life he had once worked within Troy. But all his questions were brushed aside. He could never get the old man to say a damn thing, not even where he was from originally. Across the street, cheered on by a small group of onlookers, two men were involved in a violent fight. Mabel's Haven was about as rough a place as you could find, but the food they served up was good, all things considered, and there was no way for Drake to know when the next opportunity to grab a hot meal might come along. Dawn was already rolling Cal into the empty garage bay. Once he had closed the door, nothing short of breaking it down would get it open again until he was finished with his work. After skirting the perimeter of the lot to avoid the brawl, Drake approached the bar entrance. A few of the onlookers glanced in his direction, but the attraction of the ongoing violence ensured that it was only a passing interest. If history was any indicator, this would be the first of many fights tonight. In that case, his shorter jacket would come in handy. People would notice his P-37 and be much less inclined to give him trouble. The moment he opened the door, his ears were assaulted by the roar of virtually tuneless music blasting out from ancient speakers, the distorted sound competing against a cacophony of crude shouts and raucous laughter to produce a hellish symphony. Scarcely had he stepped inside when a security guard placed a massive hand firmly on his chest. He was a full head taller than Drake, and bore the scars of countless brawls.
"No weapons," he stated.
Drake reached into his pocket and produced a 20 note.
"And I need a place to sit."
The guard snatched the 20 in a well-practiced movement, then let out a sharp whistle. Within seconds, a young woman in a short skirt and bustier bounded up, her bright smile and pleasant demeanor a stark contrast to just about everything else in the place.
"Get this guy a table,"
the man ordered. The girl regarded him with an exaggerated frown.
"It wouldn't kill you to ask nicely, you know."
Before he could reply, she spun on her heels and headed briskly away. Drake was forced to move quickly to catch up. The interior of Mabel's Haven was exactly as one might expect of such a place. Just a vast open room with a few tables lined up along the left-hand side, near a concrete dance floor. Adjacent to this was a small stage and a booth from where a young man was playing the ear-splitting tunes. Away on the other side of the room was a round cage. This was what really brought in the crowd.
Already more than 100 people were gathered in this area, most of them busy placing their bets for the upcoming fights. A long bar ran down the middle, separating the cage side from the dance floor. With the fights due to start very soon, the tables were mostly empty. The girl showed him to one in a corner and then moved quickly away. Another girl, this one a bit older and wearing a simple pair of jeans and a T-shirt, arrived a few seconds later.
"You hungry?"
she asked.
"Is the food here still good?"
She shrugged.
"About as good as you'll get in these parts."
"A roast beef sandwich, then," he replied. "And clean water. In a bottle."
He slid a few notes over the table, making sure there was a bit extra included. No one was served here unless they paid in advance. And without a tip, you could be waiting a long time. The girl snatched up the bills and hurried away, leaving Drake to take a long and careful look around. No one seemed to be paying any attention to him, though he knew that could change in a second once the fights were in full swing. The combination of violence and too much drink invariably brought out the worst in people. He had spent quite a bit of time in this area. Set on the very edge of the border separating the provinces of Aurora and Jericho, there had been good work to be found during the first few years of his exile. Lots of black market goods had passed through here, which in turn meant lots of thieves and bandits. Catching that kind of scum was easy money. They never ran hard, and once you cornered them, they just gave up. They knew they could buy their way out of trouble. Whoever they had stolen from was more interested in recovering their goods than seeing justice done. Eventually, though, the magistrate had caught wind of it and decided to run all the hawkers off. From then on, bounties were paid directly to the royal treasuries, and runners were jailed, or worse. Drake wondered if Velma Chase had ever understood, or even cared about, how much more dangerous she had made things around here. Just as his food arrived, frenzied cheers erupting from the direction of the cage told him that the fights were about to start. Cage fighting was a brutal sport, and someone died in one almost every night. It was illegal, of course. Not that the authorities really cared very much if a bunch of provincials beat one another to death. Once in a while there would be a raid, just to show the people who was in charge. But following that, nothing was ever taken any further. The food wasn't as good as Drake remembered, and he shoved the sandwich away when it was still only half-eaten. They used to have real beef here, not the processed garbage that most other places served. It looked like beef, even smelled like beef, but in reality tasted like dried-up old leather. A memory of how delicious the recent manga juice had been drew a smile. Soon, now, all of this would be nothing but a bad dream. He was still imagining a new life in the lower city when, just a few minutes later, a sudden sharp pain in his stomach made him gasp. This was quickly followed by a burning sensation in his chest. Placing a hand to his brow, he could feel large beads of sweat forming. This shouldn't be happening, not even if the food was badly spoiled. Something else was wrong, something that his mana was struggling hard to fight off. His hand moved to his weapon, and he forced himself to his feet. If this were a spell, he would have sensed it. Drake spotted the waitress on the far side of the room, with her back against the bar, waiting for an order. He started toward her, but after only a few steps, his strength drained away and he fell to his knees. From behind, he heard laughter.
"Looks like he's had enough," said a man.
"Shut up,"
a female voice responded.
"He's got a gun, see?"
Looking back, he saw two men in dark suits closing in on him. He tried to free his P-37, but a fresh spasm of pain sent him the rest of the way to the floor. A moment later, two pairs of hands lifted him roughly to his feet and began dragging him along. Drake wanted to struggle, but his limbs would not obey his commands. The heat in his chest was increasing, and his eyesight was failing. Whatever poison they had used, it was incredibly strong. He barely heard the feral shouts of the spectators as they passed near the cage. Not that any of them would interfere. They would allow him to be abducted and never give it another thought. By now, he could see virtually nothing. It was as if his eyes had been shrouded by the densest fog imaginable. Only a crash of the bar door slamming behind them, and the feel of the brisk night air on his face told him that they were now outside. He then heard a screeching of tires and the sound of a sliding door being yanked open.
"Let's go,"
said a gruff voice just ahead. The two men hurled him into the back of what he imagined to be a cargo van. The floor was bare metal, and the air inside smelled of oil and wood.
"Make sure he doesn't slide around. Boss says he's to get there in one piece."
The door slammed shut, and a strong pair of hands pressed down on his chest.
"He's in bad shape," said the man holding him.
"You sure we didn't give him too much?"
The van lurched forward.
"How should I know?"
The answer came from the front.
"I just used what I had."
Drake tried to gauge his surroundings. Three men, two in the front and one with him in the back. They had taken his weapon, and if the poison wasn't meant to kill him, he would recover. But how long would that take? Whoever had planned this must have known about his resistance, which meant they would probably also know the proper dosage needed to keep him immobilized. Luckily, he was still conscious, though the pain in his chest was making him almost wish that he weren't. He could feel that they were pulling onto the highway, heading west. He went over in his mind what lay in that direction. They were on the border, so that meant just more taverns and black market warehouses. Nothing there to tell him where they might be going or who these men were working for, though he did have a couple of good guesses. He tried to speak, but his tongue was swollen and his throat almost closed, and after about 5 minutes he gave up trying. He should have been more cautious. If Troy had been infiltrated, they might possibly have known he would come here first.
Never be predictable. That was Hawker rule number one,
followed closely by never let your guard down. He had broken both of them. A huge mistake. And if he didn't shake off the poison soon enough, it could easily be his last.
"What the hell is that?"
shouted the driver. Drake was sent sliding hard into the back of the seat in front as the van screeched to a halt. A second later, he felt the vehicle bounce up and down in reaction to all three men rapidly scrambling to get outside. This was followed by the click of weapons and the scraping of hard shoes on pavement.
"Where the hell did he go?"
one of the men growled.
"Hellfire."
The familiar scent reached Drake first, and then the lights dancing in his eyes from outside confirmed it. There was a mage out there, and one powerful enough to cast hellfire. He knew what was about to happen even before the first shot rang out. All firing at once, the men emptied their weapons in mere seconds. He could hear them still scrambling to reload when a calm voice said,
"Are you gentlemen quite done?"
A short, high-pitched hiss was rapidly overtaken by a great whoosh of flames. Instantly, the inside of the van became overpoweringly hot. Drake tried once again to move, but was still immobilized by the poison. The screams of the dying men sent a chill down his spine. Hellfire was just about as painful a death as one could imagine.
"Poor bastard," he thought.
He had only seen it used once, but the contorted scream seared into the victim's features was still clear in his memory. His P-37 could create it in very small bursts, but anything more than that and his weapon would shatter to pieces. Hellfire was just too powerful. The heat continued to intensify. The men were now silent. Dead, he assumed.
"I think maybe I went a bit too far," came the same calm voice. "And you are going to be quite a load to carry."
Drake was dragged from the van. His eyesight was starting to improve somewhat, allowing him to see a hazy image of the man tugging him along. His features, though, were still impossible to make out.
"I should have parked closer,"
the man complained, grunting heavily with each step. After a couple of minutes, Drake was bundled into the seat of a car.
"I'm not sure what it was they gave you, but I do need you to be calm for a while," he said. "So please forgive me for this."
The moment the words had been spoken, Drake felt as if a large hammer had struck him right between the eyes. Total blackness immediately followed. Chapter 7 The wind felt nice on Drake's face, raising memories of driving Cal with the top down. It was a simple pleasure, but one of the few experiences since his exile that was sure to bring about a rare moment of joy. Such pleasant thoughts vanished in a flash as his eyes popped open. He could see clearly now. Sure enough, he was travelling along in Cal, but only as a passenger. Someone else was doing the driving. A man in a long blue coat and well-fitted black pants and shirt, was leaning back in the seat, his hand resting lightly on the wheel. At once he recognized the face. Bane. Instinctively, Drake's hand flew to his weapon.
"Your gun is in the back seat,"
Bane remarked almost absently.
"What the hell is going on?" Drake demanded. "I'm taking you to Fisk," he replied, smiling.
Drake looked to the back.
Yes, his P-37 was right there, and it was within fairly easy reach.
"Is that right?" he said.
"Yes, and before you think about doing anything foolish, check your left leg."
Drake reached down and felt something that had been wrapped around his thigh. His heart sank. He knew precisely what it was.
"What's the range?"
he asked. Bane shrugged.
"No more than 20 feet, I should think. Never really bothered finding out for sure. Oh, by the way, that one has a dead man's switch attached. You know, just in case you try to get clever."
Drake had used these before. Mana tethers. If the runner moved too far away, the device automatically exploded. And if he was being told the truth about this one having a dead man's trigger, simply killing Bane and disabling it was not an option.
"What's Fisk paying you?"
he demanded. Bane chuckled, shaking his head.
"You think you can offer more?"
"Yes."
"You know I can't do that. What good is a hawker if you can't trust them to complete their mission?"
"But I thought Fisk wanted me dead."
"He does. But I'm not an assassin, so he'll have to do that job himself."
He gave Drake a sideways grin.
"It's a genuine pleasure to meet you, by the way. You're a true legend. A pity it can't be under better circumstances."
Drake reached into the back and retrieved his weapon.
"I hope you don't mind."
"By all means. It won't fire. I disabled the mana chamber." A simple fix, he thought. And a mistake for Bane to be free with that information. Unless he was lying, of course. But the man was not known for being careless, even though he looked far too young to have fully earned his impressive reputation. Drake noted that the only weapon he appeared to be carrying was a large knife on his belt. Not that Bane needed anything else. His magic was all the weaponry he required.
"Is it true that the men of the Royal Guard have a Vex crystal inserted into their chests?"
Bane asked. Drake cocked his head. Only a counted few people knew of this. It was how they channeled mana, and what gave them certain types of resistance. Normally he would deny it, but right now he wanted to keep Bane talking.
"A small one, yes," he admitted.
"Where did you hear that?"
"You hear things at the College of Mages. It must hurt like hell. How do you tolerate it?"
"You get used to it." Bane looked skeptical.
"I suppose. All the same, it seems like a lot of trouble just for tough skin and some extra stamina."
"It's more than that, I promise you."
"I guess so. It certainly saved you from that poison those guys put in your food."
He pointed to the glove box.
"I almost forgot. Dawn said to tell you that the tracking device wasn't a tracking device at all."
"Is he still alive?" Bane laughed.
"Of course he is. Why would I kill Dawn? Seeing as how you were with me, he was more than happy to let me take Cal. Good thing, too. I would have hated to steal her."
Drake breathed a sigh of relief and then opened the glove box. Inside was the switch, together with a bundle of wires wrapped around a small metal orb. A bomb.
"He said it was a damn good thing you got him to check it out,"
Bane continued.
"Said it would have killed anyone sitting in the passenger's seat before they knew what had happened. Oh, yeah, and he also disabled anything else Troy could have used to track you. Not that it matters now."
A frown formed as Drake mulled over this news.
Why would Xavier plant a bomb? Killing the prince would not help him in the slightest. Of course, it was always possible that Xavier knew nothing about it.
One thing was certain. When he got out of this mess, he would definitely be looking to beat some answers out of the dear captain. His frown deepened. On the other hand, getting out of this mess might prove to be damn near impossible. Bane was unlikely to slip up, and Fisk was known to be both brutal and highly efficient when it came to killing.
"Where are you taking me?"
he asked.
"Not far,"
Bane replied. "We'll get there in a few hours, so relax." There was little else he could do at present but just sit there and allow himself to be delivered to a man who wanted him dead. His eyes ran carefully over the rival hawker, taking in every detail. Youthful-looking or not, he was certain now that Bane's reputation was well-deserved, which would make killing him much more satisfying, if the opportunity came. For a time the drive was made in utter silence, aside from Bane occasionally humming to himself. After crossing the border, Drake had expected them to veer toward the outer province of Xanabar. Instead, they turned northeast into Arbor. This was the region where most of Vale's produce was grown, and Troy made sure it was very well guarded indeed. In fact, there were more royal guards stationed here than in the city itself. Added to this, the magistrate imposed direct control over all law enforcement measures in the area. If Fisk were conducting business here, he was either insane or even better connected than Drake could have guessed. Mile after mile of fences charged with mana ran along both sides of the road. Behind these were the fields that nearly every soul living in Vale depended on for food. Above the fields, mana streams burned brightly as they delivered power to the hundreds of facilities responsible for the maintenance and harvesting of the crops. Working here was a good job, if you could get it. At least you never went hungry, even though the labor could be back-breaking at times. Smart agro-workers had small fields of their own, usually hidden away somewhere in the outer provinces. The seeds here were far better than those the poor could acquire, if indeed they could find any at all. Though the soil wasn't nearly as fertile outside of Arbor, and the yield smaller, one could still make enough money to retire in relative comfort from the income of a single field. Unless, of course, you were caught. Selling black market produce was about as serious a crime as murder. "I heard once that the ancients had fields like this larger than the whole of Vale itself," Bane remarked offhandedly, breaking the silence. "Ever wonder what it was like back then?"
"Not really. What good would that do?"
"I don't know. I just wonder sometimes how it would be if everyone had enough to eat. You know, like if you didn't have to be born in Troy just to get ahead in life. From what I've read, the ancients were warlike barbarians who destroyed their world. I don't think I'd want to go there." Bane shot him a sideways look. "That's what we've all been told. But what if it's not true?" Drake straightened. "Have you ever been to the barrier?"
"No."
"Well, I have. Believe me, it's true. Beyond Vale, there is nothing but wasteland." Why anyone would doubt this was impossible for Drake to understand. Even so, some still did. They imagined the world of the ancients to have been some kind of paradise, and that the lessons all children were taught were propaganda and lies. But he had seen the devastation with his own eyes. Nothing lived outside the barrier. There was only sand and dust as far as the eye could see. The wars had ravaged the entire planet, and only Vale brought any hope of redemption, the hope that the High Mages would eventually find a way to heal the land, one day in the indiscernible future. After a time the road narrowed, taking them past a succession of large warehouses and open lots filled with farming equipment. The smell of chemicals was in the air, and even over the wind coming in through the window, Drake could hear the buzz and whir of machinery. They eventually pulled in behind a tall silver silo, where three other vehicles were parked nearby. Bane got out of Cal and waited for Drake to do the same. "Before we go in," he began, "I want you to know that I really am sorry about this. It's just a job, after all." Disgusted with himself as much as with Bane, Drake did not bother replying. How many times had those very same words come out of his own mouth? How many times had a runner pleaded to be let go, and he had ignored them? Many deserved their fate, but some did not, and he knew the difference. He knew, and didn't care. Bane led him around the silo to where a steel trapdoor was set in the ground. He stomped on this three times and waited. Drake scanned the area, spotting three cameras, one of which was trained directly on the trapdoor. The deep clunk of a mechanism turning sounded, and a rush of air exited from around its edges. Bane stepped back and gestured to a recess in the steel. "I think I'll let you open it." When Drake did not move, he took another threatening step back and raised an eyebrow. "Do you really want to find out the range of that tether?" Drake's jaw tightened as he resisted the urge to make what would almost certainly be a suicidal jump on his captor. There was always a trigger, and Bane was sure to have his at the ready. Reaching down with a great effort, he raised the heavy door up on its hinges, revealing a stone stairway. Drake entered, with Bane just a few feet behind him. The steps ended in a long passageway that split left and right. Bane pointed left, and they continued this way until reaching a grey metal door. Through this was a small room with three cages at the far end, each just large enough to hold one man. Bane nodded toward the cage in the middle. "You'll need to wait in here," he said. "I have to collect my bounty first." He held out his hand. "Your weapon, if you don't mind." With little option, Drake gave him his P-37 and entered the cage. Once he was secured inside, he watched Bane place the gun on a small table in the corner, and then walk over to the door. A wave of panic struck him.
"Where are you going?"
he called out.
"The caller!"
Bane gave him a sheepish grin.
"Don't worry. It's not real."
Drake fumed.
"You son of a bitch!"
"Sorry," he replied. "I hope you don't hold it against me." The moment the door closed, Drake ripped the tether away. He then set about examining the lock to the cage. It was a good one. Even so, with a few simple tools, he might have had a chance of picking it. As it was, though, he had nothing suitable on him. Not a damn thing. And the bars were way too thick to bend. He gave them a sharp kick before sliding to the floor. He would definitely be killing Bane the first chance he got. Though he had to admit, the anger raging inside him was as much against himself. He should have seen through such a basic ruse. He was slipping. Now he needed to get sharp in a big hurry if he was going to make it out of here alive. After about an hour, the door opened and Fisk entered the room. He was dressed in a tan shirt and black pants, with a black fedora covering his round head.
"I was surprised to hear you were caught so easily," he remarked, his voice deep and rumbling. "Bane was a bit disappointed, given your reputation.
Did you come here to gloat?"
"Not at all," he replied, waving his hand. "I just wanted to check that Bane was not attempting some sort of deception. He is known for that, as I gather you discovered for yourself."
The taunt stung Drake, and although he tried to conceal this fact, he knew that it showed.
"What's in this for you?"
he asked.
"Because if it's money you want—"
Fisk shook his head.
"I'm afraid you've become involved in something way beyond your understanding. There is absolutely nothing you can offer that will change what is about to happen."
Drake could see the resolve in his eyes.
"Will you at least tell me who hired you?"
"Why?
It will only anger you. I was given specific instructions, so no. I will not be telling you anything."
He turned to the door.
"But don't worry. I will see that it is quick and painless."
Drake let out a roar of anger the moment the door closed.
"No, stay calm,"
he told himself, after a few seconds of venting his rage.
"You need to focus. There has to be a way out of this."
He examined the lock again. If he had his P-37, dealing with it would be a simple matter. A mage would be able to open it easily enough, too. As it was, the Vex crystal in his chest all but prevented him from using magic in a traditional way. He concentrated instead on drawing mana inside himself. The heat in his chest began to build, but even after trying four times to utilize this, the lock remained stubbornly secure. Bracing his back against the rear of the cage, he used both feet to push against it with all his strength. And again, with no result. He was about to resign himself to the fact that there was no possible way out of his situation when the crackle of gunfire drifted in from outside the room. This quickly got louder and was accompanied by the shouts of men barking orders. Someone was attacking the facility. Less than a minute later, the door flew open, and a man in dark blue fatigues rushed in, his rifle sweeping across the room. On spotting Drake, he glanced over his shoulder and shouted,
"I got one in here!"
Moving closer, the man leveled his rifle and took aim. He never got to pull the trigger. A blue streak of energy struck him in the very center of his back, sending him crashing into the front of Drake's cage and then sliding to the floor. He was still falling when Bane ran in, his hands glowing with mana. "If you promise to behave, I'll let you out," he said.
"What's happening?"
Drake demanded. "Look, we can discuss that now and end up dead, or we can run. Your choice." Deeply suspicious, Drake wanted to press Bane into explaining why he was prepared to release him, but more gunfire told him that now was not the time.
"Just open the door," he snapped.
"Not until you promise," Drake grumbled.
"I promise. Now get on with it."
Bane flashed a grin, and then simply touched the lock with his forefinger. The cage door instantly swung wide. Drake dashed over to the table where his P-37 still lay.
"I don't suppose you were lying about disabling the mana chamber?" he asked.
He checked the clip where 6 normal rounds were housed. It was empty.
"No, that much was true."
With a sigh, Drake snatched up the rifle dropped by the dead man.
"You know a way out of here?" he asked.
"Of course."
"Then lead on."
Bane wagged his finger. "Remember, you promised to behave."
"I'll behave," he confirmed,
but added as a silent afterthought, "for now." It was obvious he had a much better chance of getting out of here alive with a man like Bane at his side. So, as much as he wanted to put a bullet into the guy's brain, he had to restrain himself. They left the room together, Bane crouching low, Drake standing more upright and with his rifle pointing down the passage. They passed 3 bodies along the way, one wearing the same uniform as the man Bane had killed, the other 2 in tailored suits, probably Fisk's men. The steps leading up to the entrance looked clear, but Bane shook his head.
"There's an army out there," he said. "We wouldn't get 5 yards."
They continued straight on until reaching another door, this one slightly ajar. Voices could be heard inside. Bane looked over his shoulder and winked. The glow around his hands intensified. In a single fluid motion, he kicked the door fully open and let loose a streak of blue lightning. Drake could see 3 uniformed men kneeling behind a pile of crates, their focus down a hallway on the far side of the room. The spell struck 2 of them simultaneously, burning fist-sized holes in their backs. The 3rd man swung his rifle around, but Drake put a bullet in his heart well before he could aim.
"Nice shot," Bane told him.
Bullets pinged off the wall from down the hall, forcing them to lie flat.
"Aren't those your people shooting at us?"
Drake asked. Bane raised an eyebrow.
"My people? What in Vale would make you think that?" "Don't play games," he warned. "I wouldn't dream of it. Let me handle this."
After crawling away from the line of fire, Bane raised himself up and waved his arms in a circular motion. In response, the crates the men had been hiding behind levitated a foot in the air.
"Get ready to charge," he instructed.
Drake got to his knees just as the crates erupted into flames and flew like meteors straight down the corridor. As soon as the gunfire stopped, Bane leapt to his feet and ran full tilt behind the advancing inferno. Drake followed close behind. At the end of the passage was a large room stacked high with boxes and crates, most of them clearly marked as containing perishable items. It looked like Fisk was bold enough, or foolish enough, to run a black market operation right here under the nose of the magistrate and the royal guard. 6 men were scattered about the room, 2 rolling on the ground with their clothes on fire, and the rest busy scrambling around trying to find cover. From behind, Drake could hear more men shouting. In the far corner of the room, he could see a ladder attached to the wall. This led up to a metal hatch. Barely had his eyes settled on it when pain shot through his arm as a bullet grazed him from his right. He turned and fired, hitting his assailant in the leg. An angry growl slipped out. The wound wasn't too bad, but it hurt like hell. Bane released a short burst of light that exploded at the feet of 2 others standing near the ladder. Such was the brilliance of this that Drake had to look quickly away to avoid being blinded. More gunfire reverberated off the walls, coming from just inside the passage leading into the room. Bane took off toward the ladder, casting more bursts of vivid light behind him. Drake spat a curse while chasing after him, barely covering his eyes in time.
Glancing back after reaching the ladder and beginning to climb, he saw a long line of uniformed men now pouring into the room. At the same time, Fisk's men were stumbling about aimlessly, shouting with pain and rubbing frantically at their inflamed eyes. It was only about 20 feet to the top, but at this moment it seemed to Drake more like 100. Bane had already reached the hatch and was crawling out. Then, just as Drake was preparing to do the same, he heard a voice ordering him to stop. "Like hell I will," he muttered, his fingers closing around the top rung for a final pull-up. A violent burning sensation, like being stung by a giant, man-sized hornet, struck him in the thigh even before he heard the shot fired. The pain of the impact raced up through his body, attacking his muscles with such force that he immediately felt his grip on the ladder slipping away. He was on the very point of falling when Bane reached down and seized hold of his wrist.
"You need to pull yourself up," Bane told him, grunting loudly. "I'm not strong enough to lift you on my own."
It was all the reprieve Drake needed. The pain was still there, but the sudden shock to his system had already passed. Regaining his hold, he scrambled through the opening just as a second shot bounced off the wall below the top rung, missing his trailing foot by inches. Once out in the open, he looked around. They were close to the back of a wide wooden building, about 100 feet away from the silo. Voices carried, telling him that several more men were gathered on the other side, quite near to the entrance, too many of them to confront head-on without his P-37. In the near distance, a line of cars was speeding away, with red magistrate vehicles in close pursuit. There was no sign of Cal. "Can you walk?" Bane asked, shutting the hatch and then melting the hinge with a short burst of mana. That would hold their attackers, but only for a short time. And without Cal, Drake knew they were still trapped.
"I'll be fine," he said.
Though the rifle had been powerful enough to penetrate the protection his Vex crystal provided, he was relieved to see that the wound was shallow. "Good. Then you drive." As he spoke, Bane opened a small back door to the building. Inside was Cal. A wave of relief washed over Drake. Rapidly, he stripped off his shirt and tied it around his leg. The pain was still bad, but becoming increasingly manageable. The scratch on his arm had already stopped bleeding. Another Vex crystal benefit. He eased into the driver's seat and fired the engine. The large double door at the front was closed and locked, but that was no obstacle, not for Cal. Bane was already seated and strapping himself in. Good thing, too. Drake would have seriously considered leaving him behind.
"On the other hand, the guy did save me," he acknowledged.
But why? That was a question for when they were well away from this place. He tossed his P-37 over to Bane.
"Fix it."
Without waiting for a response, he slammed Cal into gear and pressed hard down on the accelerator. The doors were ripped from their hinges as they flew out of the building. Although taken momentarily by surprise, the cluster of men gathered at the front quickly recovered and assaulted them with a volley of fire. Drake grinned as the rounds pinged and whizzed off Cal's bodywork. It would take a lot more than anything they were armed with to get through. From the rear view, he could see two men getting into one of the few remaining vehicles. He slid on to the main road, and within seconds, Cal was racing at over 160. The magistrate officers had no chance of catching them, that much was certain. Even so, they would need to get the hell out of Arbor and into the outer provinces as soon as possible. The sun was sinking low when Drake pulled off onto a narrow road that split two fields. He touched the yellow panel on the console, and a map of the area popped up on the screen.
"Find us a way out of here," he ordered Bane.
"Good thing my father removed all the tracking devices," he remarked. "If he hadn't, they would know exactly where we are."
"Your father?"
Drake shook his head, hardly able to believe what he was hearing. Bane looked amused at his confusion.
"Yes. Do you think Dawn would have given Cal to just anyone?" "When we get out of here, you have a lot of explaining to do," Drake told him. "You know, I've heard that quite a few times today,"
he responded with a grin.
"Yeah, I bet you have."
Chapter 8 It was well past midnight before they crossed into Bolivar Province. Avoiding the magistrate's officers and the royal guard had not been so easy at first, and only the fact that Drake was familiar with their methods allowed him to eventually outmaneuver them. Once safely out of Arbor, he was then able to use Cal's vastly superior speed to put them well beyond the range of any search. He changed the camouflage setting to make Cal less recognizable, then started toward an old hawker complex he had lived in for a time a few years ago. Bane was quiet throughout, apparently perfectly at ease with what was happening. The revelation that he was Dawn's son was still troubling Drake. He rarely placed trust in people, but Dawn had been an exception. They pulled into the parking lot of an outdoor market. It was too early yet for anyone to be about or to find anywhere to stay. "You need to get that bullet out," Bane told him. Drake untied the makeshift bandage. The bullet was resting in the folds of the cloth, and the wound was already starting to close. "No need," he said, tossing the round out of the window. Bane shook his head in wonder. "I'm starting to understand why the Royal Guard is so feared." He handed Drake his P-37. "I think you'll find it's working just fine now." Drake checked the weapon to be sure this was true, and then pointed it straight at Bane's head. "Now tell me why I shouldn't just blow your damn head off." Bane seemed unmoved by the threat. "Well, let's see. I did save your life. That's a reason. I wouldn't have needed saving if you hadn't brought me there in the first place." He noticed the mana building up in Bane. "If you think you're fast enough, go right ahead." "It was just a job," he explained, though not making any attempt to release the mana. "Are you telling me you would have done it differently? Be honest. You aren't angry with me. You're angry with yourself for being careless." He was right, of course. But that only made Drake want to pull the trigger even more. "Then why save me after going through all the trouble of capturing me in the first place?" he demanded. "Because I need you to help me complete another job I've taken on." "What kind of job?" "Same as yours. Finding Prince Salazar." Drake stiffened. "Who hired you?" Bane chuckled. "Do you know the rules? A good hawker never reveals the identity of his employer. But who hired me isn't what should be important to you right now. What should be of more interest is that I already know where the prince is being held." "Bullshit. If you know where he is, why not go get him yourself?" "Because he knows you, your old friends. He's more likely to run away from me, and the last thing I want is to accidentally harm him." There was sound logic behind this reasoning, but not enough. Drake shook his head. "Sorry, but I'm doing this alone. Now get out." Bane's smile never faded for an instant. "That's fine, if you think you can find him. Why do you think I brought you to Fisk first? I needed a way back in, and you, my friend, provided this." The thin hiss of the P-37 charging cut through the air. "Don't insult my intelligence," Drake snapped. "You work for Fisk." "Sure. Fisk hires me from time to time, but I am not one of his lackeys. He had the information I required, and so I traded it for you." There was a long pause before he added, "Who do you think informed the magistrate about Fisk's little operation?" "You? How else was I going to get you back out? Granted, the magistrate's men were a bit more enthusiastic than I'd anticipated, but it worked all the same." "Then who hired Fisk to kill me?" Bane shrugged. "How should I know? I told you before, he only hires me from time to time." Xavier and the magistrate had both claimed that Bane was in Fisk's employ. But then Xavier possibly wanted him dead. For sure, someone had planted the bomb in Cal. "If you think you can find the prince first, then by all means go ahead," Bane continued. "But seeing as how I know where he is, or at least where he was, and you do not..." Drake gritted his teeth, his finger still itching to pull the trigger. At this close range, even the powerful protection that Bane was getting from his mana would not save him. "Okay," he finally conceded. "We'll work together. For now. But I promise you,
Get in my way, and it will be the last thing you ever do.
Fair enough.
Bane glanced outside to where a truck was pulling into the lot. Now, if you wouldn't mind lowering your weapon, maybe we should find a place where we can discuss a plan of action.
Drake holstered his P-37 and fired Cal's engine. He knew of a lodging house a short distance away that would be open soon. Which was just as well. Fatigue was creeping into his joints and muscles. He badly needed to rest a while. That Bane still looked fresh and full of energy made him dislike the man even more. As he pulled onto the road, the world seemed as it did on that first day of exile. Dark and sinister. The life of a hawker was dangerous, but at least it was comprehensible. They ran, you chased. You were in charge of your own destiny. Trust was something you never needed, not when you worked alone. This was fortunate, because he had quickly learned you couldn't trust anyone.
"Tell me one thing," Drake said. "Did your father know about any of this?"
Bane was clearly surprised at the question.
"Hell no. And if you ever want revenge, telling him would be the easiest way to get it. He thinks the world of you. The only decent man in Vale, I think, were his exact words. If he knew what I did, he'd never speak to me again. It's bad enough I became a hawker."
This made Drake feel somewhat better. After a short pause, he asked,
"Why did you leave the College of Mages?"
"A kind way of saying it might be that I was asked to go. The truth? I was expelled."
"Why?"
He gave a lopsided grin.
"They said I couldn't be trusted."
"That I can believe."
The lodge opened a few minutes after they arrived, allowing Drake to quickly book a room. He then checked Cal's trunk. If Bane knew anything about the panel containing the case and the money, he certainly hadn't touched it. His sword was still where he had put it as well. Satisfied, he headed for the room. Once inside, he immediately collapsed on the bed. Through weary eyes, he watched Bane cast a protection ward over the door, and then settle into a tattered chair on the other side of the room. Wards were complex, and most mages didn't possess the power or the knowledge to create them. There was definitely more to Dawn's son than met the eye. But for now, questions would have to wait. His body was near its limit, and the road ahead would be long and dangerous. His dreams were filled with painful visions of his trial, the condemnation in the eyes of his fellow guards, and the deep sorrow on the face of King Nidar were all too vivid. But most of all, it was the voice of Lenora that threatened to break his heart. The way she had pleaded to go with him, and the fury she'd unleashed when he refused. He woke in a cold sweat. Bane was standing at the window with a look of deep concern on his face.
"What is it?"
Drake asked.
"Trouble."
Drake shot up from the bed. From outside, he could already hear screams of terror. At first he couldn't see what was causing the commotion. Then, after a moment, it became horribly clear as a hulking figure lumbered out from behind a building on the other side of the street. Its pale green flesh was covered with what appeared from a distance to be scales, though in reality Drake knew them to be simply deep ridges. Just above a pair of black, soulless eyes, two sharply pointed horns protruded from a narrow brow. The eyes shifted menacingly around as though searching for prey. Then, flailing its taloned arms about wildly, and with thick globules of saliva dripping from its fanged maw, the creature let out an ear-rending roar.
"Hellspawn," spat Drake.
"I thought they'd all been killed," said Bane,
a hint of fear in his voice.
"So did I.
What do we do?"
Drake could not look away.
"Nothing. The Royal Guard will be here soon enough to deal with it. We need to stay out of sight."
The Hellspawn had stopped directly in front of the lodge and was sniffing the air. Slowly, it turned its head to face the building.
"Your ward!"
Drake shouted.
"Get rid of it!"
When Bane did not move, he shoved him roughly over to the door.
"Do it, now!"
Snapping back into the moment, Bane waved his arms in a wide circle. The Hellspawn was moving toward their room, still sniffing, and with ever-increasing drool pouring from its mouth. A second later, the ward was gone. Even so, the creature continued to move closer. It was only then that Drake realized why.
"Stop!"
Bane looked at him with confusion, his hands glowing with mana. But before Drake could say anything further, the Hellspawn let out a feral cry and charged. In an instinctive reaction, he threw himself forward hard and low, wrapping his arms around Bane's waist and pulling him down. They hit the floor together in an untidy heap. An instant later, the creature smashed its way through the door, its massive body tearing the frame completely away.